Welcome, everyone, and happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. My name is Marvin, and I'm so glad you have chosen to join us today for our online services. We wanted to let you know that if you have a prayer request or if you wanted to connect with one of our pastors, you can contact us through our app or email us at the email address that's on your screen. Our Christian Assembly LA app is available for you to download on your Android, Apple phones, or tablets, so please feel free to download that. We wanted to take a moment to say thank you for your giving and for your ongoing generosity. We are so grateful for you. You can give online through our Christian Assembly LA app or by visiting our website and clicking on the Give tab. For those of you that would prefer to mail in your offering, you can make your check out to Christian Assembly Church. And you can send it into the address below, or the address is also listed on our website. If at any point today you make a decision to follow Jesus Christ, we'd love to hear about it. We'd love to pray with you and celebrate with you. You can let us know of these decisions by emailing us at the email address that's on your screen or simply texting the word decision to the number 52855. One of our pastors, Tom Hughes, who's actually going to be speaking in a few moments, will personally follow up with you today to encourage you and to guide you in some next steps. Well, I want to thank you for joining us online, and I want to encourage you to not just be a spectator in this service, but to actually participate in worshiping our Lord together. So let's pray together so we can begin. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come before you. We thank you that we can, through this digital means, get to worship together, Lord. I pray that you would bless each and every person that's gathered around their homes, around their computers, around their phones to worship with you. Would you grant us a measure of your Holy Spirit as we worship you now? In Jesus' name we pray. Let's worship together.
Looking for the words to help me say that my heart is full of love and praise. To stand and say, I love you. Can you tell him? Can you tell him now? Thank you for a brand new day, a brand new chance to stand and say, I love you. Let's see. Help me find the words to say. Oh, help me find the words to say to tell you. Can say in the deepest give you all my praise. You alone I long to worship. You alone I worthy of my praise. I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. You alone I long to worship. You alone I worthy of my praise.
Zayce is gonna play. Blessing. I am so filled with joy just worshiping today and just being able to fix my mind and my hope and my thoughts all on just the goodness of God and His first love for me and my love for Him. And you know, we're in a time, a season right now where there's a lot of things that want to divide us. And Jesus prayed that we would all be one. And it's so, so important that we are one in Him, one in His Spirit, and that we're loving each other. So this song is just a prayer for unity. Lord, we do pray that we can humble ourselves, that we can forgive, that we can love, and that the world will know that You are the Savior, and that we are Your people by our love.
Make us one, make us one, by the power of Your Spirit, make us one, so Your kingdom, Lord, Your kingdom will come. Make us one, Lord, make us one. Help us love, help us love. Oh, by the power of Your Spirit, help us love, Lord. So Your kingdom, Lord, Your kingdom will come. Help us love, Lord, help. So all may know that we're Your people. So seen. You're the great Redeemer. As we worship you, as we worship you, make us one, Lord, make us one.
And every tribe, every tongue, oh, rich and poor, oh, dead and young, so your kingdom, Lord, your kingdom.
On our knees we bow.
is stronger than all sickness. There's healing in his hands, and he's stronger than addiction. He sets the captives free, and he's stronger than depression. His joy is our strength. Yes, he's stronger than the darkness. In him is only light, and he's stronger than all sickness. There's healing in his hands, and he's stronger than addiction. He sets the captives free. Oh, he's stronger than depression.
Declare his goodness, oh, and you are good, oh, good, oh, you are good, good, oh, you are good, good, oh, come on, sing it out in your homes there. So good. No one like our God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness in our lives. Amen. What a blessing to worship with all of you today. And now we're going to hear a special message from Tom.
Hey, everybody. It's Tom Hughes here from Christian Assembly Church. I have some exciting news to share. Because of you, the people of Christian Assembly Church, and your ongoing generosity, we have been able to partner with 11 other churches around the country and one university in order to cancel medical debt all around the country. The way that we partnered with these other churches is that we offered to match them dollar for dollar for what their donation would be to cancel the unpaid medical debt owed by the poor in their city or their region of the country. We did all of this because God's word says that we should consider how to stir one another up in love and good deeds. So I'm excited to share with you kind of where all the details landed. We have partnered with these 11 other churches and one university to cancel $23.7 million of available unpaid medical debt owed by the poor. This gift has impacted 15,468 households around the country. All of the debt was purchased for about a penny on the dollar through our partnership with the nonprofit organization RIPMedicalDebt.org. We couldn't have done this without your generosity. In fact, even now around the country, people are beginning to receive letters letting them know that this debt has been canceled, no strings attached, simply because of the love of Jesus. You might be wondering where some of the locations are that we partnered with. So let me just walk you through that. For example, in San Diego, in partnership with Light Church, we were able to cancel all of the available medical debt owed by the poor in the entire city. The same thing happened in Jacksonville, Florida, with our partner there, Grace Anglican Church. In fact, in New Hampshire, we were able to cancel all of the debt for the entire state through a partnership with Grace Capital Church. That same thing happened in Oregon, where we canceled all of the debt owed by the poor in the state through East Hills Church and our partnership with them. In addition to those states and cities where we were able to cancel all of the available medical debt owed by the poor, we did millions more in each of these areas. In Fort Wayne, Indiana, we partnered with Lifehouse Church. Grand Rapids, Michigan, we partnered with Calvin Church. In Bartlesville, Oklahoma, with Spirit Church. And in Omaha, Nebraska, we partnered with Calvary Church. In Austin, Texas, our partner was Mission Church. And in San Antonio, Texas, we partnered with Lifehouse Church. In Temple, Texas, we partnered with First Temple Church. And in San Dimas, California, we partnered with Life Pacific University. You might have a couple questions about this new endeavor. You might be wondering if we did this in response to COVID-19. Truth be told, we actually started this process before we knew that COVID-19 would be such a pandemic across our country. However, it's not lost on us that in God's timing, He had us purchasing medical debt owed by the poor and forgiving it whenever there's a time of great medical need in our country. You might also be wondering if the numbers that I quoted earlier include our previous gift, where we forgave $5.3 million worth of medical debt owed by the poor in the Los Angeles area that impacted 5,555 households. The answer to that is no. In fact, if you add that previous effort with this new endeavor, all told together with all the partners across the country, we've been able to cancel $29 million of medical debt owed by the poor at about a penny on the dollar. And that has impacted over 21,000 households around the nation. Now, in all of these numbers, we need to remember that these are real people with real stories. In fact, I want to read to you just two little thank you notes from recipients from previous campaigns that RIP Medical Debt did. Here's what one person wrote in. They said, quote, "I'm a single parent raising my son with special needs. Life has hit us with some hard blows mentally, spiritually, and financially. Opening your letter to find that my medical debt has been paid in full, I will never forget that moment. You have truly blessed our lives with your generosity, your compassion, and your love." Here's another letter that came in. The person wrote in and said, quote, "I was going through the worst year of my life when this letter showed up. I found a little hope through the darkness. This act of kindness has given me the strength that I need and has raised me up. Thank you. I cannot express my gratitude. God bless you." To my Christian Assembly family here in Los Angeles, look at what God has done with your generosity. All I can say to you is thank you, thank you, thank you. And I'm so proud of how you're loving our neighbors, both near and far. To all of the partner churches and the partner university and thousands of people who call those churches home, we just want to thank you for allowing us to partner with you to amplify your reach and impact. We couldn't have done it without you, and we know that we're better together. To the 15,468 households that are receiving letters all around the country knowing that their medical debt has been canceled, we just want you to know that you matter to God and you matter to Jesus, and Jesus loves you. And by the way, so do we. No strings attached. Hey, welcome everybody. And all I can say is wow, 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 wow. I know if I was making that announcement when we were all in person that we would be clapping, cheering, applauding of how God has been at work through your generosity. So I just want to take a moment and applaud and say thank you, God. Thank you for empowering the debt to be paid off all around the country for the poor who are struggling with medical debt. And I want to thank you, CA, for your generosity as well. To God be the fame and to God be the glory for that endeavor. Also, I want to thank the hundreds of you who have joined us last weekend on Saturday when we did CA's public lament and prayer walk against racism as well as racial injustice. And it was a powerful time. It was a holy time. We prayed with and for our Black brothers and sisters, as well as the different forms that racism can take against our Asian and Latino brothers and sisters as well. We also prayed for our law enforcement, for our police officers. I know we have many police officers in our church who are doing their jobs in just and good ways. So I thank you for those of you who are serving us in that way. We prayed for the police as well and our government leaders and more. And I'm so grateful for all of you who were able to join us. Also, just want to say happy Father's Day to all the dads out there who are doing your best to love your families well, and just want to celebrate you as well today. Well, we have two more weeks in our series that we've entitled Hope Found Here, The Unshakable Promises of God, this week and next week. Then in July, I'm going to be taking a little bit of time off, and I'm grateful for that. Mark will be leading us in a new weekend series that he is working on now that will launch in July. Well, let's jump into our teaching for this weekend. All around me and around you as well, I'm having conversations, and you are too, with people who are asking this question. They wish that the world was different. And people are asking, well, what can I do? What can we do? And I think that's a right and good, and even I would say a biblical and holy question to ask. We long for our world to be different, for it to be more just in many ways. In fact, as the author C.S. Lewis once said it, he said, if we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. And that longing meets its fulfillment in this week's promise from God's word. We get the promise from Revelation 21, verse 5. Here's what it says. And the one who is seated on the throne said, see, I am making all things new. And he said, write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. What does that promise mean to make all things new? And how can it give us hope for tomorrow as well as purpose and even compassion for today? So we're going to consider that. But before we do, let's pray. So God, we thank you for your goodness of your word. And even again, God, we thank you that we as a church are getting to partner with people all around the country to cancel medical debt in your name for the poor. Lord, I pray for all 15,468 households that are getting letters that they would be encouraged and strengthened in their time of need. Lord, as we come to your word, would you speak to us about this promise, giving us hope for the future as well as power for the present to do our part to be part of your promise to make all things new. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God's promise to make all things new is a real and objective and even a historical event. In fact, Jesus makes this point to his disciples in a conversation when he makes this statement in Matthew 19, verse 28. Jesus said to his disciples, truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man is seated on the throne of glory, you who have followed me will also sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now the word here that Jesus chooses that is translated renewal is an interesting one. In the Greek, it's palingenesia, palingenesia, and it literally means Genesis anew. Genesis anew. You can read the account of the
first beginning of the first Genesis, in the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve were created by God. They did life with God prior to sin. They were in a right relationship with God, with one another, and with creation. But then they eventually experience a subsequent brokenness of their fellowship with God when sin enters into the picture by their giving in to the temptation, not believing that God is good. And that not only damaged their relationship with God, but with one another, and even a curse happens on creation as a result of that. The first Genesis is the story of God with the first Adam in the garden. But this Genesis anew, this renewal of all things, it actually begins at the resurrection of Jesus. In fact, when you read the accounts of the resurrection of Jesus, one of the things that happens is that he's mistaken for a gardener. And I always find that to be an interesting little detail that's given, that he's mistaken for a gardener as he's beginning this Genesis anew in the garden again. He's the second Adam undoing in the garden what the first Adam did. Where the first Adam introduced death, this second Adam, Jesus, is introducing life. G.K. Chesterton once said it this way: on the third day, the friends of Christ, coming at daybreak to the place, found the grave empty and the stone rolled away. And in varying ways, they realized the new wonder that the world had died in the night. What they were looking at was the first day of a new creation with a new heaven and a new earth, and in a semblance of a gardener, God walked in the garden again, not in the cool of the evening, but now in the cool of the dawn. And God invites us to join us in this promise that he wants to make all things new. God has a new future in mind for us. So what does it look like for us to be part of this Genesis anew kind of life, this Genesis anew kind of faith? Well, the first thing I think the scriptures would teach us is this, is that we need to ask God to renew our trust in his goodness. You see, the first Genesis went sideways whenever people stopped trusting that God was good and had good intentions and good plans for them and wants good for us. At its epicenter, faith is not just believing that God exists, but it's believing that he is good. I mean, even Satan believes that God exists, but he just doesn't believe that he's good. Jesus Christ came to show us the goodness of God the Father. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. And that verse shows that this promise that God has made isn't just in the future, but that the new creation has already begun. It's already underway. God's already at work bringing this promise to pass as new hearts are created as we respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ, by placing a new and renewed faith in the goodness of God because of what Jesus Christ has shown us through his life, death, and resurrection. To be part of this promise to make all things new that God is doing, we are invited to take it on and be part of God's work, to be active in that. In fact, we're commanded to throw off the old to make space for the new in Ephesians 4:21. Here's what we read. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature, your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, and here it is, let the Spirit, speaking of the Holy Spirit, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So God's promise to make all things new, it begins now by a renewed faith in God's goodness and a renewal on our part to have renewed thoughts and renewed attitudes that come from yielding ourselves to God's good and holy Spirit. That Genesis anew reality, that Genesis anew kind of faith that existed prior to sin entering to the world. New thoughts and new attitudes begin to emerge in us whenever we reject the thoughts that say that God doesn't really care or that God isn't really good. Instead, you begin to look for God's goodness all around you, to be at work, even in these challenging seasons. Let me ask you, what's the challenge that you're facing where you need to ask God to help you see him renewing and doing good work in your life, to believe that God is at work. Maybe for you, it's about racial injustice you've experienced. And you need to say, God, I need to see you to be at work in this area, in this way, to bring about new things. Maybe you've lost your job or you've had a reduction of your hours at work. You've lost some clients and you're concerned maybe even to the point of where your next meal is going to come from. And you need to ask God, God, I need to see your newness. I need to see you bring a renewed faith. Provide my daily bread for me and help me see that happen. Maybe you're sick or you have a loved one who is, and you need to ask God, God, would you show me how you're at work? And would you bring about good things even in this challenging time? Here's the point. I can do my part to cultivate a Genesis anew faith in my life by actively looking for God's goodness no matter the season, no matter the situation, and no matter the circumstances. In fact, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 begins this way and says, "For this very reason, you must make every effort to support your faith with goodness." And here's the thing. I know that sometimes we can have what the great Christian writers of old refer to as the dark night of the soul, when we simply cannot see God's goodness in a present season. It's just we're too overwhelmed. And in those times of the dark night of the soul, that's when we need to trust that this season will not last forever. And that on the other side of the season, looking back, we'll be able to see God at work for our good. As Ephesians says, God's Spirit will renew my thoughts and my attitudes if I will let Him. The second thing I think we see from the scriptures is this, that we need to actively partner with God's goodness to renew every area of my life. You see, if you want to be part of this promise that God is making, that He promises to make all things new, that means we not only have some areas of our life made new, but we want every area of our life made new. God's promise is to make all things new, not just some things new. Don't mistake this promise for universalism or universal salvation, because people are not things. When He says He promises to make all things new, that includes all of creation, but people are given the unique opportunity and the choice to enter into this all things new world by faith. See, if you don't place your faith in God's goodness, then you're going to stay stuck in sin with an old life that's not going to be transformed by God's renewing power that He has for you. And eventually, you'll be separated from God and His good and eternal plans that He has for eternity. Now, maybe some might be hearing this and they'll be thinking, well, Tom, why can't God just welcome everyone into the new creation, whether they trust God or not, whether they want to obey His ways or not? Well, if God did that in the new creation, then really we would just have a repeat of what we're experiencing right now, currently on earth. You see, the longing that we have for eternity is not just that this life will last forever. It's a longing for the good to last forever without the evil, without the injustice. And that requires us to trust God. It requires us to be renewed people as God renews us. Scripture is clear in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 10. It says this, "For all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each may receive recompense for what has been done in the body, whether good or evil." So then, a complete commitment to Jesus, a Genesis, a new faith, trust God with every area of your life, not just some of it. A.W. Tozer, the author of old, once said it this way. He said, "The reason why many of us are still troubled and still seeking and still making little forward progress is we have not yet come to the end of ourselves. We're still trying to give orders and we're interfering with God's work within us." But when we trust in God's goodness, when we joyfully submit to His wisdom and His ways, then we become part of God's process of making all things new in us as well as through us. Ephesians 4 already told us to throw off the old nature. So that's one thing we can do. And then let God's Spirit renew our thoughts and attitudes. But then it goes on to explicitly show us how this really needs to enter into every area of our life. For example, this Genesis anew kind of faith changes our relationships with other people. In chapter 4, verse 25 of Ephesians, it says, "So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all part of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down on you while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil." Listen, if you are a liar and you stop telling lies, or if you are angry and you no longer let your anger control you, what will happen? That will begin to renew your relationships over time. I guarantee it. We all know, right, that there's a big difference between being known as a liar currently versus being known as someone who used to lie, but now humbly, gently, kindly tells the truth. This Genesis anew kind of faith also changes our relationship to money. In verse 28 of that same chapter, we're told, "If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands to work hard and then give generously to others in need." Just like we saw last week on the promise of justice, God's plan is not just sin management. The goal is not just neutrality. You see here, it's not just quit stealing or don't steal. That's part of it, but that's really only one third of it. It's quit stealing and then work hard and then give generously to others in need. To do that requires that you really have a renewed view, not only on work, but also on money, a renewed view maybe of those in need and the role of generosity as well. And again, I just want to say, so many of you are living this out. In fact, if you were not living that out, we wouldn't have been able to do what we have just done by partnering with those 12 other churches, 11 other churches, one university around the country to cancel $23.7 million worth of medical debt owed by the poor. That was because of your generosity. That's because you've worked hard and you're giving to those in need. Genesis anew faith will help you see the redemptive purposes of work in our life. For example, after people repented and were baptized by John the Baptist in Luke chapter 3, this is what we read in verse 12. It says, "Even corrupt tax collectors came to be baptized and asked him, 'Teacher, what should we do?' And John the Baptist replied, 'We'll collect no more taxes than the government requires.' 'What should we do?' asked some soldiers. And John replied, 'Don't extort money or make false accusations and be content with your pay.'" See, what John the Baptist is saying to them is that new faith creates new people with new thoughts who go into their old jobs and they do it in new ways. Their new jobs are renewed. They become more just. How do those jobs become more just? Because the people who are doing them in renewed ways. They're doing them in more just ways. Unjust people can take just jobs and make them unjust and turn them into a form of oppression. But also, just people can take jobs and they begin to do them in just ways. Thereby, when you do that, you are participating in God's vision in the renewal of all things. Pastor Eugene Peterson once said it to me this way. He said, "Tom, there are 1,000 ways to be a pastor." And he said with a smile on his face, he said, 500 of them are good, which means the other 500 ways aren't so good. And he looked me in the eye and said, "Tom, find one of the 500 good ways to be a pastor that best fits with how God has made you and be that kind of pastor." Now, I would say that there are just and unjust ways to be a pastor. There are just and unjust ways to be a banker. There are just and unjust ways to be a police officer. And I've been speaking, praying with a number of police officers. I want to thank you that are doing police work in just and righteous ways, that you're doing that. You're part of modeling what it can be like, and I want to thank you for that. There are just and unjust ways to be a student, to be a just or unjust business owner, a just or unjust politician or government official, an artist, and the list goes on. The choice between justice and injustice runs right through the heart of each one of us. Each time we choose to act in accordance with biblical justice, doing what we know is right according to God's word, we become part of the renewal, the transformation of all things. The third thing we see about this promise is this, is that it's the hope of safety in the end that releases sacrificial love now. This all things new promise contains a hope for the future, but also it contains power for the present, and the two are connected. God's promise connects both. It's not one or the other, it's both together. The final and complete renewal of all things in its fullest form does indeed, according to God's word, lie in the future. And yet, Scripture makes it clear that this project has already begun. God's promise to make all things new and its ultimate fulfillment in the future means that however painful my life might be or your life might be right now, we can have a hope that God will heal us from the pain and the suffering and the griefs that we've experienced in this life. I know for many of you, this is a very painful season. I've been on the phone praying with people on every type of topic, from economic to racial issues to health issues, and the list goes on. And I just want you to know I grieve with you. My heart breaks with you, and my heart breaks for you. And I know I'm not alone in that. This promise reassures me that no matter how dark a season might be, that evil and suffering and pain will not win in the end. And yet this promise also means that God invites me to be part of that promise of the new creation now, and to believe that our final hope is not only in our best efforts to just kind of grit our teeth, but in God's promise to make all things new, one day fully and finally. And that can give us faith whenever we get disappointed in this life. It can give us courage to do things in this life that otherwise maybe we'd never attempt. In fact, right before this promise that we read in Revelation, here's what we read in chapter 21, verse 3 of Revelation. It says, I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. And what a promise. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, and there will be no more sorrow, no more crying, and no more pain. All of these things are gone forever. In verse 5, it goes on and says, and the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. That's his way of kind of bolding it and italicizing it and underlining it and reinforcing it. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more injustice, no more pain. Well, if that is God's will, if that's God's plan for the future, then I, and I know many of you as well, we want to be part of bringing God's will into our reality now, imperfect as our attempts may be. So let me ask you, who do you know that you could reach out and comfort? Maybe they lost someone to COVID-19. Maybe it's not just COVID-19. There are people that I know that are struggling with cancer right now that need people to pray and encourage them, and you might know people as well. Who is it that you can reach out to and listen to them around issues of maybe racial injustice? And of course, it's not only racial injustice. There can be other forms of injustice that occur that people have experienced as well, whether economic or otherwise. And maybe they need somebody to pray for them, to stand with them and stand for them. How is it that I and you can be part of God's will and that desire to be part of participating, making all things new, and just and peaceful and loving and hopeful and faithful ways? I like to think of this all things new promise this way. Imagine if you are in an airplane and somebody falls out of the airplane and they don't have a parachute on, but you don't have a parachute on either, If you don't have a parachute on either, you're not going to jump out of the plane after them, right? Because it won't do any good. Two deaths aren't better than one. But if you see them fall out of the plane and you yourself have a parachute strapped to you, you might just have the courage to attempt one of those kind of awesome, kind of daredevilish rescue attempts that maybe we've seen in the movies, where you free fall like a bullet to kind of catch the helpless person as they're falling through the air, and you grab onto them, and when you've got hold of them, you pull the ripcord and the canopy deploys, taking you both to safety. Why would you attempt that? You would attempt that because of the hope of safety in the end releases sacrificial love now. Here's how Paul says it in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. He says, "We have heard of the love that you have for all of God's people because of the hope laid up for you in heaven." You see, it's the assurance of all things made new, that all things made new hope of heaven that releases radical risk-taking love right now. It's a future promise that has present power. And if you really do live a life with these kind of moments and times of sacrificial love, others might see you jumping out of the proverbial airplane and rescue the other person. And so then they might say to you, "Hey, how can you jump out of the plane, out of the comfort and the safety of this airplane?" And you can answer, "I can do that because I have a parachute called the promise, God's promise of the renewal of all things." May each one of us live up to God's call and his promise to trust in his goodness, joining him to do our part to make all things new in our life and in the areas we can influence with acts of sacrificial and risk-taking love now and hope for the future too. Will you pray with me? For some of you, as you hear about this Genesis A New Faith, you just need to say again, "God, I renew my faith in your goodness." You know, faith isn't just something you do one time. It's something that you do over and over. You continue to renew your faith. I continue to renew my faith. And you can just say, "God, I'm renewing my faith now. I trust in your goodness." Maybe for some, for the very first time, you need to say, "God, I trust you. I'm saying yes to you. I'm giving my life to you. I want to be included in the renewal of all things, and I want to be part of it. Make me new. Make me a new creation now because of what Jesus Christ has done. Forgive me of my sin. Restore me to a right relationship with you, and teach me how to have right relationships with others in the world around me." Maybe others, you just recognize that you have faith for some areas of your life, but you really haven't allowed every area of your life to be made new by faith. So even now, let me just ask, is there anywhere that God's bringing to mind that you're afraid to let him transform? Anywhere that you need to say, "God, I want a Genesis, a new kind of faith. Maybe in my finances, maybe in how I treat my coworkers, maybe in my family, maybe in how I view you." What is it that you need to ask God that his goodness would transform every area of your life? Others of you, you know that God is inviting you to acts of sacrificial love now. Maybe you've kind of been feeling that, but you've been a little afraid. I understand it's not easy. But I want to encourage you. May God give you the courage to act now in self-sacrificing, appropriately loving ways to love our neighbors as God has loved us. And lastly, I want to remind us in these turbulent times that our hope is in the God who is good, who promises that indeed he will make all things new, and that we can be part of that by our faith in Christ. Church, I'm so grateful for you. Others of you who maybe are new and joining, I'm so grateful for you, and I've been praying for you. May God bless you this week with the strength of his promise to make all things new. And may you do your part, and may I do my part to follow God's word and spirit, that we can be part of that promise even now. In Jesus' name, amen.
thank you once again for joining our online services. If you made a decision to follow Jesus today, please email or text us so that we can follow up with you. We wanted to remind you that you can connect with us through our daily touch points and our digital discipleship that's available this Wednesday night, available on all of our social media platforms. You can follow us on social media on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Instagram. Now let me close with this benediction. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all the generations, forever and ever. Amen. See you next week, everyone.